All right.
Did you see it? Did you see it?
I walked through it, you know, and it you know what was exciting about yesterday? I love that, like, from the time I left this building and then I got to the train station, it's about a 25-minute walk. And everybody was outside. Yep. Everybody was outside, and they were all looking up. And I thought to myself, this would be what it would be like if a planet sent us a note and said, at 1:30 tomorrow, we're just going to send one of our spacecrafts across the sky, and you guys can all see it. That's what it would be like. So that's why I was pretending yesterday. And that was exciting for me.
Did you look through your glasses at the sun at all?
No.
Why? I saw the sun half covered by the moon. Mm-hmm. And then the clouds were, it was pretty cloudy, I'll tell you that much. So at one point, I didn't even really need my glasses.
Oh.
That's the voice of Steve Bertrand.
I'm the so worried glad, voice.
I'm so glad you admitted that because I had the same experience.
You
well,
did.
There was so much cloud cover yeah. that I had the glasses on, and I'm like, wow, the sun is completely halfway covered because mm-hmm. this was before the 1:19 showtime.
Mm-hmm.
And then the
this
clouds
was like
came
the
over.
The leadoff man, if you're a Cubs fan, yes. this was the leadoff man. They were interviewing.
Lynn Burton was there
yeah, Lynn Burton
next to me.
Was there. For certain he was there.
And then, so I looked through the glasses and I saw it, and then the clouds rolled in. So I looked up to go, oh, come on, when's this cloud going to pass? And that's when the clouds were obscuring it, but you could still see that the sun was half covered by the moon, and it was pretty kick-ass.
Well, I'm so grateful to you guys because you gave me one of the pairs of glasses
yeah.
that Lucianne brought in.
Yeah.
And so I had those at home, and I was off yesterday, and I had so much fun just walking up and down the street saying, hey, I've got glasses. Do you want to look? And I went to my health club on the way back, on the way at the end of it. There was an older guy there who's a longtime friend of mine. And he said, I didn't see it. I won't be able to see it. And I said, I got these glasses. And he says, and I gave it to him. And the guy was just spellbound. By
oh, yeah.
It. I mean, it just was such a great thing to, you know, just walk around and give the glasses to different people to give it a look.
I was listening to the play-by-play done on the John Williams show at Showtime, which was 1:19, and Steve Grzanich did a fantastic job. He was high up above, and then you had Dave Schwann, who was in...
A little emotional.
He was really getting into it,
yeah.
And as Steve was talking, you could hear Schwann just going, oh my God, this is unreal! Oh my God! He just couldn't contain
yeah.
himself, and Patty Vasquez was somewhere as well in a different area. She did a great job as she shared it with her family. It was a pretty great coverage here on WGN Radio, I will say.
The one that's getting all the attention, not just locally but nationally, is our friend Tom Skilling.
God love
who,
him.
Wept openly.
You knew that
he
was
just,
coming.
He could not stop crying.
Do you remember I told you that some people were going to be overcome by emotion?
But I didn't know it would be Tom Skilling, but
I
then it all makes
sure
sense.
Him, yeah.
Because for Tom, this was the Cubs winning the World Series. This was his daughter walking down the aisle on her wedding day. This was like every major thing all in one, and he just lost it. Here's a little clip of Tom Skilling. I'm going to warn our more sensitive listeners.
We're not ready yet for that.
I'm going to warn you right now, he uses some pretty salty language.
He does not.
My word. My word.
He is just adorbs. That's all I have to say.
He's the poster boy of adorable.
The moon covered up the rest of a bowl.
Yeah.
So
Wendy, it's like the sun and moon are giving each other a big smooch. My word. Heavens to Betsy. Domini Pongo.
Even cold people start sobbing. And for some, it's just a life-changing event. And we may start doing that, too.
They're not laughing at him. They're laughing with him.
But, I'll get my act together, guys. And I'll be back to you. I promise you. Guys, back to Chicago. Sorry about this.
It's adorable.
I love him. I love how emotional he got. That was fantastic.
And he's the perfect guy to do it.
Yes.
This is in his wheelhouse.
He has given his life, Wendy, to weather... And weather rewarded him yesterday. The planets aligned.
Well,
my word.
I was worried about my kids not being able to see it yesterday. And Michael was at College of DuPage in his math class, and they spent the whole math class pretty much watching the coverage live streaming from Carbondale. So
yeah.
they did get to see it.
Yeah.
Michael walked out in between classes and saw it, but it was very cloudy in Glen Ellen. And then,
so the school itself didn't just say to all classes, hey, there's a major event, let's all go outside. It was,
no.
Was it a teacher-by-teacher basis, do you think?
I think so. And then at LT High School, the astronomy class had gone to Carbondale, and Mr. Allen, the LTTV teacher, they were streaming it as well. So that's what Dylan watched in his class.
Oh.
And the thing that was blowing me away, and I wish I could have seen totality, because they explained that it looked like a sunset, like you'd see in the west, but it was 360 degrees. Like if you turned around, it was like red and orange and yellow around all of you.
Yeah.
That would have been really, that would have made me cry. I dropped to my knees.
I don't know. Did Tom drop to his knees? I didn't see that.
No,
I'll watch
but
it
I
again.
Would've.
My wife said that what fascinated her, and she also had the protective glasses, was how quickly, like normally if you look up at the sun or the moon, you don't really see it moving.
Right.
It seems to be stationary. But she said all of a sudden you saw the moon just kind of moving at not a rapid pace.
It
but
was
you could
pretty
physically
quick.
See it moving. And she said that was entertaining.
It was pretty wild.
Yeah. We have some disturbing audio of
well, first of all,
Bonnie Tyler.
I'm embarrassed to say that Jimmy Mack told me that Dean played some audio of Bonnie Tyler earlier this morning, and he's like, "Wendy, you gotta listen to this." So I got in and I punched it up on the old Google box.
Yep.
And I said, "She looks fantastic." And then I'm embarrassed.
Well, you should be embarrassed. You kept complimenting Bonnie Tyler. For people who don't know, Bonnie Tyler was very popular in the 1980s. She had a couple of hits, most notably Total Eclipse of the Heart. And her sales on any format have gone up 1,000% in the last couple of days because she sang a song about an eclipse. So everybody
wants
that
song. It's burned in all of our retinas.
Yes.
Well,
yes.
Her voice is burned out. Just wait till you hear this.
She was on a cruise ship yesterday, a cruise line. Hired her to, you know, to be out and sing Total Eclipse of the Heart during the eclipse because we love things that are literal. And here's a little sample of her that is...
get ready.
Put
your glasses on.
Put your earmuffs
over your ears.
I need you more than ever. And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever.
My word. That makes me want to stare directly into the sun.
She is so lucky that they called her for this.
Now, you kept complimenting her. Look at how beautiful
this
she looks.
This is what I'm embarrassed about.
She looks so beautiful.
I
you
said,
just kept
she looks
that.
Great. Oh, my God. Look at her. She looks really good.
Yeah.
I love her hair.
Yeah. Kevin, who does she look exactly like?
That would be our very own Wendy Snyder.
Yeah, looks exactly like you.
I don't
like
see
you.
It.
Oh,
she's
no.
much prettier.
She looks.
I have a better singing voice than she does. That's good news.
Oh yes.
But I didn't see it as that. Well, good. I like the way I look then.
She's dressed like you. Her hair is like yours. Her makeup is like yours. I thought it was you. I thought I was looking at a clip of you. I had to hold up a picture of James Spader next to the computer so I knew it wasn't you.
You know what? We should try and talk to her. I wonder if she looks like James Spader without makeup as well.
She sings like him.
He sings better.
Now, could people...
The Crypt Keeper sings better.
Oh, it's not pretty.
Poor little thing.
Did that cruise line say, could you send us a demo tape before we actually go out to sea? Because people are going to jump off the ship if they hear you singing this during the eclipse. All right, we must take a break. We'll discuss more about the eclipse and other things. If you have any thoughts on this, we're 312-981-7200. We'd love to hear from you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
Bonnie Tyler was glad her phone was ringing because there was a...
What's that noise? She said that in her house. What's that ringing noise? Oh, somebody wants to book you.
Can we hear a little of that again? This was a number one hit. I mean, it really...
I love this song.
I don't.
You don't?
Not really.
I love this song. I love the original version. Her new version is not as good.
And she said it's one of the number one karaoke songs, which that surprised me.
I could see that.
All right.
I could definitely see that.
Bonnie Tyler live from
totally
a cruise ship.
Totally clips of my vocal cords.
I need you more than ever. And if you only hold me tight, we'll be holding on forever.
We're all laughing at different things.
Hi, Gary. How are you?
Hey, pretty good, guys. Hey, good thing for Bonnie Tyler, she's got 7 years to get ready for the next eclipse. And if you think that sounds bad coming through the radio,
yes,
you ought to hear that coming through the cell phone.
No, I don't want to hear that. No.
No, you do not want to hear
terrible.
That.
Terrible. So. Gary, thank you.
We're going to give you her number, and she's going to sing to you every morning to wake you up.
Oh, thank you, Wendy.
All right, Gary. See you later.
Why is it some singers are able to pull it off? Like, you know, you'll hear them do one of their classics from 15 or 20 or 30 years ago, and you go, oh, they sound exactly the same. Not everybody, though.
I watched that Glenn Campbell movie, I'll Be Me or whatever.
Yeah, I'll Be Me. I'll never forget the name of that movie.
Yes,
yeah.
You will. It was fantastic.
A
documentary. And I got to tell you this, he still sounded awesome.
Didn't he? He really did.
And this is a man battling Alzheimer's, age behind him, former smoker. This guy still had it.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe he took care of his voice. Maybe he sang properly. There's a way to sing where you don't use your diaphragm, not your IUD.
I always think that probably smoking and alcohol aren't the best things if you want to keep your voice in certain shape. But then there are guys who are able to smoke and drink nonstop, and they still sound good. So I don't understand.
Adele,
it.
I can't believe she's a smoker. I know she's quit back and forth.
Yeah.
But
her
mean,
voice is
angelic.
Fancy. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah, I don't know. And I don't know how it went with Ozzy Osbourne. He's got, you know, the hit Bark at the Moon. So he was out in Southern Illinois, I think.
I think so. Yeah, I think he was.
Boy, times are tough.
I know.
Shed.
Also losing it yesterday was Shepard Smith.
Oh,
did you
really?
See any of that?
I love Shep. I really do.
He didn't cry, but he was just... It was like, you know, the legend of like when the moon is out, people get nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Like you watched that happen on air. Like as the day progressed and it got closer and it was actually happening, Shepard Smith just went bananas on the air. And then Tucker Carlson made an interesting statement about our president. I'm sure you've seen the picture. Donald Trump decided at some point to just look directly at the eclipse.
It was a fake eclipse.
Right. It was a fake eclipse. It was all set up by CNN. He knew that. So he's just looking right at it.
Squinting, but still looking up.
Yeah, still looking up.
Melania has her glasses on.
Right. So then Tucker Carlson made this interesting statement, I believe, on Fox News. And people have said, oh, he was kidding. And maybe he was. I don't know. You tell me. This is Tucker Carlson yesterday commenting on President Trump looking up at the eclipse without any protective sunglasses.
Even the president saw it, but in a move that is not a complete surprise, he looked directly at the sun without any glasses. Perhaps the most impressive thing any president's ever done.
The most impressive thing any president has ever done.
I think he was kind of ripping it.
I hope so. I hope
he
was.
Yeah, he said that tongue in
cheek. But he doesn't usually, like Tucker Carlson is usually a huge fan of Donald Trump's. Whatever he does, Tucker Carlson goes, wow, how about that?
You know,
see that?
I thought that was kind of unfair. I saw that a lot of that yesterday. Wendy, you just said you looked, I looked. You know, I think a lot of people glanced up.
But despite all the warnings from everybody.
I don't know what it was like. Where was he? Was he in Washington or New York?
I know, but I just think it's hard not to just... give it a, you know, not to stare at it, not to burn your retina, but to look at the sun like you might any other day.
Maybe.
It's still a great photo op. Come on, it's a great meme.
The funniest one I saw was on my walk to the train yesterday, while all this is happening, most everybody had the protective eyewear. Some people had variations on it, but there was one family that had taken a television box. And the two kids were looking in the sides of it. I don't understand exactly how they did this. They cut the box up and they put tinfoil on one side of it, and the son got to look through that side, the daughter on the flip side, and then the two parents each had holes with a hanger in between. It was the weirdest thing. It's like none of this makes any sense, but they were all enjoying the eclipse immensely, so I guess I'm wrong, because I didn't know that that's what you needed to do to enjoy it as a family together. But all four of them had their own designated holes, some near the hanger, some near the tinfoil.
I don't get the hanger.
I don't understand any of it.
The tinfoil, I seem to remember when I was in grade school. You'd do a pinhole in the box.
It diffuses the
then,
sun somehow, right?
From my understanding, the sun goes in the pinhole, reflects off the aluminum foil onto a piece of paper where you would see the shadow.
They didn't have that. They were
but
still...
the hangers, I don't really know.
And it was a huge TV box.
like, so they're all sitting in it?
No, they weren't sitting in it. They were all gathered around
it. Oh, okay.
It. But nobody was questioning it. Everybody just, you know, accepted it as, well, they must know what they're doing. So I went, yeah, they must, right?
It seemed to work unless they were faking
they
it.
They were loving it. They were having the time of their lives.
Someone says that Melania's eclipse glasses were Versace. I'm not really sure that's true.
It's possible. It's very possible.
I guess, you know, Steve, you're right. There were times I looked without my glasses on. But, you know, it's the president
for
of the United
length
States.
For time, though? For a second?
I didn't time myself. Right. I was in the parking area, and the sun was behind a cloud. And I stood there and waited for the cloud to move, and I had my glasses on. And then this other cloud came, and it obscured it, but you could still see the sun. And it's like, you know what? I look at the sun every day, not staring into it.
The warning that kept coming out is you'll be lulled into the belief that this seems to be safe because it'll be a little bit hazy.
There were big-ass clouds in front of the sun. Now, if it was a crystal-clear blue sky, there's no way I would have looked into it.
Well, I kept making the mistake of taking my glasses off while my eyes were still pointed out.
I put that over the weekend.
You're not supposed to do that.
Steve, I thought you were mocking me.
No.
I literally had them on my eyes, so, you know, you're looking through these really dark glasses at the sun, my practice run on Saturday, so you're not squinting at all. Your eyes are wide open, and then it's like, I wonder what the sun would look like if I pulled the glasses away. So eyes wide open, stared right at the sun, and I really had a piercing headache the rest of the day. I don't know. I have some Solar Floaters, which is a great band name.
The Solar Floaters. Ladies and gentlemen, the Solar Floaters.
You guys, I think it was you yesterday mocking people for selling eclipse glasses on eBay or something after the fact.
Right.
On Facebook, they have like a local marketplace where people, it's like an online garage sale kind of. And there are people selling
it.
Like, are you kidding me?
DNA Info's got a story today. I don't know if we're going to follow up on it or not, but where there are places, I think there's a group called Astronomer Without Borders. Astronomers Without Borders.
Really?
No. Yeah.
Well, I didn't read it all, but the idea is they want people to donate the glasses now for the next eclipse, which is in South America.
Years.
No,
yeah.
Ours is in seven years.
Right.
Okay. Right. Sorry.
Can we take this real quickly?
Yeah.
George is here. Hi, George.
Hi. How you doing?
We're good.
I was driving around Elk Grove working, and I was driving by schools and places of work, and everybody's outside watching this. Whole groups of school children were watching. People were standing outside of their places of work. It reminded me of the beginning of Independence Day.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah. It was pretty cool, though.
It was as though we knew that some planet was going to send a spacecraft across the sky. Everybody outside, everybody looking up, mostly calm, thankfully.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And they're all looking in the same place. I pulled over. I was looking at it with my goggles, and I had some truck driver pull up next to me and asked if he could see. So I lent him my glasses so he could look, too.
Now, usually if a truck driver pulls up next to you and asks if he can see, you should call the police immediately. You know that, right?
They have a great view from up there.
That's right.
My word!
Oh, it's not my word!
George, thank you. Have a good day after the eclipse. All right, let's take a break. We've got a full show for you. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN. Steve, thanks. Hi, everybody. It's Bill F. and it's Wendy Snyder. How can you reach us? Well, dial these numbers in this order, 312-981-7200. You can call us there or text us there. Did you hear what Steve just said, Wendy? A woman was driving today and then pulled over and had a baby. She just delivered her own baby.
That's what we women do.
Yep. Very resourceful.
Tell us about yours.
I can't make a ham sandwich by myself. This lady delivered her own child.
Bill, did you do this? So when Sharon was pregnant with Emma, we went to all those birthing classes and everything, and I'm like, I could do it. If I had to do it, I could do it. You know, like picture myself on the stairway. Okay, we didn't make it down. I could do this, I think.
Yep. You think that.
And
but
then
when
she
it comes
had the baby.
Yeah,
it's
you
like,
couldn't do
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
You couldn't do it.
Yeah, but if it's coming out, you got to have help. I just know the breathing I learned, I was using swear words instead because the who, he wasn't working.
My word. I would be.
I don't know where to go with that.
Well, that's what I mean. In those classes, they taught you that when push comes to shove.
And it does in this case.
It didn't help.
No.
The who, he.
Who, he.
I should have been on Maury Povich, who's the baby right. daddy. Boo-hee.
Boo-hee. Boo-hee.
That's now, what it is.
Now, think about the fact that not only did she do this on her own, but she did it in a car.
Yeah.
That makes it even crazier.
Was this her first baby?
Steve, do you know the answer to that? I don't know the answer to that.
It was her first time on the spur.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Because
let me see. I
if it's
I
a first
out.
Baby, that would I would be freaking out that I was going to die, and right. I because that's you know the
well the second one and third, the later ones come quicker, right? But she was
that's
on
what
her
they
own.
Say, but that's not necessarily always the case.
You know what's cool though is there was a girl born during the eclipse yesterday, and the parents named the baby Eclipse, and this woman is naming her baby Off Ramp, which I think is a really beautiful name.
Well, or Fingston.
Fingston.
That one's better.
Gorgeous name.
Fingy for short.
Right. Right. I can't even imagine what that must have been like. I mean, thank goodness she's okay. The baby's okay. Because, boy, that what a challenge that would be. I didn't think I'd be able to be in the room when Terry had the girls. Like, I kept telling her, yeah, of course I'm going to be there. But I thought that when it actually happened, yeah. I would have to leave the room. And the only thing that got me through this is because I'm not good with you know,
anything,
blood, bodily fluid. I'm just not good with any of that stuff. So the only way I was able to stay in the room was I kept saying to myself, this is only a movie. I kept saying that over and over and over. You're watching a movie. This is not real. You've seen this in movies before. It's no big deal.
But don't you wake up and say that every day, Bill?
Yes. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Well, I had my epidurals didn't work. I had built up some tolerance where they had to take it out and put it back in your spine,
yes.
And it wasn't working. For Michael, that was pretty easy, but I was only numb on one side, so they said, well, we're going to take it out. And when they put the epidural in, they asked Jim to leave, and Jim said, no, I'd really like to be here with my wife. And they said, we are not going to allow you because we need to concentrate on your wife right now. And so many men have fainted watching us put in an epidural that we're just going to leave you in a pile on the floor. So you'll have to get out. So he went out and came back in. And
you know, believe me, I wouldn't have been able to stay in for that. There's no way I could have stayed in for that. During the birth of the two girls, now Kylie was born and then Reese was born a minute later. And there was a lot going on very, very quickly. And they had to remove a bunch of Terry's organs, like take them out and put them on the tray in front of her and then reinsert them once the babies were born. And I explained this to Terry and she goes, they don't take out your organs. I go, no, they did. And she goes, they don't do that. And then I called the doctors over and I said, please tell my wife what you just did. And they explained, we had to take out your organs so that there was room for the babies to come out. But watching that, like you say to yourself, this is
impossible.
All right,
that's really weird. Is she a Borg or something?
Yeah, she's a Borg.
Yes. Well, she is now.
But watching that, watching,
oh, you would have
watching somebody you know and love and you're married to, and going that oh, that's her split, that's her aorta. That's that, I don't want to put that back in there.
Out.
Put those back in there. we're not leaving this hospital until you put all those back where they belonged. I hope you're good at puzzles.
I can do the Rubik's Cube in 10
right.
seconds. It
right.
is a really crazy time, and Michael's birth was pretty easy, and they were both induced. With Michael, the ultrasounds were saying, if we keep this kid in full term, he is going to be like 13 pounds.
Oh,
and I'm
wow.
like, what? So I was induced, you know, at the time, but they didn't want me to go overboard.
Yeah.
And he was only 7 pounds, 6 ounces. So
they
I don't
kept him in a little while.
I know.
Sounds like someone had a vacation plan.
I know. And then Dylan, I had to plan him during a radio show I was working on. I had to plan him during our vacation time.
Oh, yeah. That seems fair.
I know.
Yeah.
But he didn't. He wasn't ready to come out. He wanted to just stay in there.
Yeah.
But neither time did the epidurals work for some reason.
That's awful.
I know, but so
painful.
But see, I don't. Dylan asked me yesterday if it's painful having a baby, and I said I got to be honest with you. I don't remember. And if people remembered, there would be only single children. There'd be no doubles.
Right. Why would you have another one after that? But could you? I mean, I guess you'd have to if you were in a situation like this lady was in on the highway today.
When you got to push, you got to push.
You have to. But, oh, boy, the stress of that. Just going, there's no one around. I'm hoping she used a cell phone to quickly call 911 and say, here's where I am on the highway. Please come as quickly as you can, right?
I'm sure. And I'm sure she's bitching at her husband for not being there.
Right.
Because that's what I would do in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
But I don't go to work with you. I know. But when I needed you, you weren't there.
My wife would have been better off without me there. If she was in, if my wife was in this exact same situation, I would have made it worse if I was there.
Boy.
Plus, I'm very meticulous. I'd go, be careful. We just got the car. What are you doing? Keep things neat.
Oh,
think
my
about
God.
The resale value. Oh, what are you doing? There's no way I could have sat there. I mean, I understand the process of the baby, you know, being born and stuff like that. I would have been no help whatsoever at all. Zero.
You could have gotten out and flagged somebody down.
Please, somebody. Anybody. All right. We'll take
a quick congratulations break. To Finkster. Finkston.
Most beautiful name on the planet. We'll take a quick break. A lot more show, including Bridget Carey from CNET joining us next to talk about the world of tech. Stay here at Bill and Wendy WGN.
It is a Tech Tuesday here on the Bill and Wendy Show. And from CNET.com, we have Bridget Carey, a CNET senior editor. Bridget, were you able to see the eclipse yesterday?
I did, well, partially. You know, where I live, it wasn't a full, total eclipse of the heart, but it certainly was impressive a little bit.
A little bit. You sound like Bill. Yeah. I really was amazed by it all.
It's cool. But, you know, then you know, real life, I have to go back to my office and do more work.
And speaking of a Tech Tuesday, the internet was NASA's website. This is the most visitors they've ever had their history that were watching the streaming of the solar eclipse.
So I think there's something magical about everyone kind of coming together and watching it digitally where you couldn't do that before. You know, even if you couldn't get outside and see the total eclipse, like I still tuned in because on my phone while I was outside to the NASA feed because I wanted to see what it looked like instantly for everyone else, you know, in other states. So.
But was it like in New York, was it like what it was in Chicago where everybody was just out on the street, everybody together all at the same time looking up? You had the same situation there, didn't you?
Oh, yeah. Everyone just poured out of their offices. Yeah. Everyone's looking up, some using pinholes on the ground. Some people looking through pinholes because they don't get how that works.
Whoops.
And then you know, I had a pair of glasses, and I was sharing with a couple coworkers. And then everyone proceeded to go to lunch, and the lines were very long.
Yeah. Well, back to normal. That's the way it should be. Bridget, explain this to me. I've seen ads for this both on regular television and online. I can't tell if it's a device, like a telephone, or if it's a cookie. But it's shaped like an Oreo, and that's all I understand. I don't understand anything else.
Android Oreo. Yeah.
What is that?
I'm guessing that's what you're talking about. So Android Oreo is the next name of their operating system, and it was announced during the eclipse because, you know, they want to be funny like that.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing. Every time there's a new version of the Android operating system to download, they name it after a sweet treat. It's, you know, been called... When it was K, it was called Kit Kat, you know. When it was, you know, N, it was Nougat and Lollipop for L. And now that they're on O, they made a deal with Oreo. And they announced it in New York because apparently that's like at a spot where Google is now is where the original Nabisco factory was. Either case, you know, it'll get you to remember it. And there'll be some cookies probably out there that are Android robot shaped. And they do what they can to market it.
Did you think it was a phone or something shaped like an Oreo cookie?
To me, I thought that's what I would be getting would be a phone that either is shaped like or tastes like a cookie. And I got very excited.
I think a phone that tastes like a cookie is more interesting than what Android Oreo actually does, because it really is just about better battery life. The way they programmed the new operating system, you're not going to see any big whiz bang. Oh my gosh, my life is different features. Except you know, battery does make a difference to people's lives, so I think that's more interesting. But there you go. That's the filling for you.
So who approaches who? Does Android say to Oreo, "Hey, we've got an idea. It could be good for you guys. We'll call our operating system your name, Oreo," or does Oreo say to them, "We've noticed in the past you've used other sweets. Consider us." How does that happen?
Oh, it could have gone either way. I'm sure the story will come out, but the way Google tells it, you know, our developers just like snacking on Oreos as we're working, and you're like, okay, yes, someone made a nice little deal there. And you know, when they are trying to figure out, oh, what else were they going to go with? There's not a lot of sweet treats in that name with O, like Ovaltine. Are they going to go with Android Ovaltine? I don't know, but as far as generics go, it's hard to find a good generic for Oreo, so I guess they wanted it. You know, or for O, I should say. So they wanted to do something fun, I guess.
So you mentioned an earlier operating system was Kit Kat. Obviously, they approved it, too. That just seems weird that they'd approve it.
It actually, is it really that weird? Suddenly you have people talking about KitKats when you're talking about tech, and then, you know, you got them to talk about your brand in a different way. And,
it kind of helps both parties, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, I guess it works for Apple. That's my least favorite fruit, but I wish there was peach computers or strawberries. But Apple TV, what's going on in the Apple TV world?
Okay, well, this is interesting for folks who are streaming video. When you had an Apple TV box, you kind of were locked, or you have been locked into iTunes if you wanted to buy a movie. If you wanted to buy a movie, buy a show, rent something, iTunes was your only thing. You couldn't do it off Amazon, you know. But finally, they're opening the gates, and they're allowing outside apps. So there's competition now. And the new one that was just added today is called Vudu. Now, if you're like, what the heck is Vudu? Why do I care about Vudu? It actually has some interesting benefits that even I learned about as I was reporting on this. You know when you buy a physical copy of a DVD and or a Blu-ray and it says a digital version of this movie is included? And you're like, well, how am I going to get that? You get it by redeeming your code off apps like Vudu. So if you ever bought a physical DVD and you wanted that digital copy, you would download Vudu, put your code in, and there you go. Now you can watch it on the streaming device. And so that's definitely a benefit to customers. I would say, though, don't run out and be like, wow, Apple TV must be the best now, because it's a little bit of a pain. If you want to buy a movie on Vudu, you got to do it on your computer. Apple makes it difficult. They want to make iTunes the easiest. So it's a pain in the butt, and you have to go on your computer and buy it off Vudu, and then it shows up on your TV. The benefit is if you have Android devices in the house, people can watch the movies and multiple things, you know. Also, Amazon is coming later this year to Apple TV. So they're opening the gates. You still want to make iTunes the easiest, but at least they're giving consumers more choice.
That seems odd that Apple's going to give you a choice.
Well, Roku is kicking their butts. I mean, I'm to be frank, when Roku does so much more and doesn't limit you to just iTunes. The only reason you would want to be with Apple TV is if you already are dedicated to iTunes.
Which I was, because it was easy and everything's on your phone. But as soon as your iCloud fills up, you buy more storage, and then it fills up again, and you don't even know how to access your stuff. It's like, I don't know, all my stuff's in the Apple world. I hope they're enjoying it, because I'm not. All right, and
sorting through all this is a mess. I hear you.
Yeah, and I mean, it really does take a lot of time. I still have like 77,000 emails on my phone that I have
77,000.
Sorry,
76,000. I could see. Yeah, Wendy's showing me now, but 77—that'd be ridiculous.
Yeah, I got to go through, and then you got to unsubscribe. That's the problem too. When you go to any website, I like to look at furniture and places like that.
Yeah.
You can't even look at their website till you give them your email address. What's that all about?
Oh, I don't even play that game. I'm just like, nope, you don't get my business. I don't need to be giving you junk, you know, and unless it's, you know, you better give me some sweet coupon if I'm going to be giving
right.
you money.
Bridget, this reminds me, my brother-in-law came up with this theory, and I said, I know a professional. I will run it past her and see if this is possible or not. You know how every once in a while there will be a quiz, you'll take a quiz online, and you'll just fill in little bits of information about certain things as part of the quiz. He says that they're taking that information and they're using it against you to sell you products. And the Absolutely. More I thought about it, the more I went, that's probably true. You know, it'll be like, which member of Married with Children is most like you? And you'll answer these things. You know, it'll say, which magazine do you read? Or which kind of car would you most like to own? You know? And then in the end, they tell you you're most like this character. But then he said the more he's taken those quizzes, the more he's solicited for various products.
That is genius if it's true.
Is it true?
Absolutely. I mean, what does BuzzFeed and Friends have to benefit from, you know, you clicking and telling them like 50 things? You know, it's because advertisers get to have a better profile of you. What's your age? What did you like when you grew up? Did you like, you know, Twinkies or did you like Ho-Hos? And then and then suddenly they're building this profile on you and your snacking habits, and you're just trying to do what favorite Disney character you like, you know, or what princess you're like. And so, this is all a race to get your information. And really, when you come across a quiz like that, no matter how bored and tempted you are, just take a breath and go, wait, why do I need to know which Disney princess I am? Maybe
right.
I don't need to give them everything. Let me take a step back in that, because especially these shady sites, a lot of them are just designed to make money this way. If you go to their main homepage of these quizzes, it is just a messy web page of nothing but quizzes and junk, and
yeah.
that's how they make their money.
All right, we have 30 seconds. You have a big Samsung event going on this coming Wednesday, tomorrow, I guess that would be.
Yeah, tomorrow morning in New York, they're going to reveal the Note 8. This is their really large phone with a stylus that won't blow up, they say, you know? So this is because the last one was a Note 7, so this is a Note 8. And really, they're going to have to, you know, put a big emphasis on how much they're going to do for consumers to really win you back and why it's cool. And I think fans are of the stylus, you know, will probably always trust Samsung again, I guess. But I think it'll be interesting to see how they try to woo everyone, because they suffered a big hit this past year.
Are there any reports that jean makers are going to make the pockets on their jeans bigger, because these phones are getting bigger, not smaller?
Can you tell me about it? Because I like this is terrible for women.
I mean, know.
Like guys can still put their pockets in some places, but like our pockets are getting smaller and the phones are getting bigger. And I just want to buy jeans that work with my phone. Let's like start a fashion business for fitting our tech in our pockets. I think that'll
wait.
Be
they
good.
Don't already have that. I'm amazed if that's not already in existence.
No, the pockets.
No one's doing that.
No, because they just want to sell you cases, so when you drop it or whatever, you know, you don't...
Yeah, and then it makes it bigger, and it will fall out of your pocket, so you have to have a case on it.
I know. Luckily, we have purses, but... So.
I know. Bill, you should get a purse.
I'm getting a purse. You talked me into it. All right, Bridget, great to talk to you. Thank you so much. Hope you have a great rest of the week.
Thanks, you too, guys.
That's Bridget Carey from CNET. It's on your computer. Just go to CNET.com, and you'll find it. We'll take a quick break, then some news, then more show. Bill and Wendy, WGN.
Thank you, Steve. It's Bill Leff. It's Wendy Snyder. And there are a lot of stories in the news that amaze me. I will never forget the whole Unabomber experience. Do you remember when that sketch came out?
Of Weird Al Yankovic.
It was totally Weird Al in a hoodie.
Yep.
And then when Ted Kaczynski was found.
Looked just like the sketch, didn't he? It was uncanny.
Looked nothing like the
amazing
sketch.
Amazing how they nailed it.
We talked to Ted Kaczynski's brother. You remember that?
The Unabrother. We talked to him.
And the brother actually tipped authorities off to...
Without him, I don't think they ever catch Ted Kaczynski, right?
I agree.
I don't think so.
And on the line with us right now, Emmy Award-winning director Greg Yatanis directed and produced over 200 hours of television, including some of the top series over the past two decades. And the reason we're talking about Ted Kaczynski is because Manhunt Unabomber is hitting the airwaves on Discovery. How are you, Greg?
I'm well. Thanks for having me, guys.
It's a pretty amazing story. I totally remember this, the Unabomber Manifesto. I don't know how much you heard, but we did speak to Ted Kaczynski's brother, and his brother was instrumental in helping him be caught.
Yeah, well, tonight's episode actually centers on the whole David Kaczynski role. And it's funny, just as I was on hold, I heard you talking about the sketch. And we go into the story of why the sketch doesn't look anything like Ted, which is, you know, again, one of those stranger than fiction yarns that you know, populate the whole series. I mean, every time we were interviewing people, we were always shocked at the twist and turn this case took, that I think if we actually wrote it or created it in a fictional series, people would think it was a bit over the top. But, you know, when you hear the story of why the sketch doesn't look like Ted, I think you'll be fascinated.
I can't wait.
And I'm very curious to hear how David reacts to it. You know, we feel we portrayed it accurately to the, you know, the early interviews David gave and, you know, the narrative that developed as the story unfolded.
Greg, I remember when we talked to David, and this was a little over a year ago, he said that as time went on and they would give little bits of information out about the Unabomber, and at that point, his brother was under, there was no reason to believe that his brother could have had anything to do with this, but he would just say to himself, boy, that sounds like Ted. That sounds like Ted. That sounds like Ted. And then it finally in his head, he's like, it has to be him. All that stuff just doesn't add up. And it's got to be him.
Yeah. Linda, you know, both in the interviews and like I said, the early interviews, you know, we noticed, you know, as you, you know, once you back 20 years and you see the narrative, of somebody's story, you know, that story develops over time and becomes, you know, the early impressions become a narrative of, you know, and they were very invested in, you know, protecting Ted and keeping Ted from being found guilty and put to death. So, you know, which you can't even imagine. I'm very, very close with my brother. I can't even imagine, you know, having to be in a situation where, you know, you're coming forward on that. But Linda, you know, we try to really focus in on Linda's role too, who was, you know, the one that really was
that's David's
really
wife.
David. Yeah, David's wife, convincing her, you know, David that this was, you know, this was her brother and these writings were similar to her brother. So,
and that's weird too, because when you think about it, it's like an in-law going, I know your brother, you love your brother, but he's kind of a whack job. It's like you wouldn't believe it at first.
You wouldn't. No, of course, like, who would and why? You know, like, why? I mean, it's like winning the lottery. I mean, it's such a strange, like, crazy thing that of all the people this person is, he turns out to be your brother. And, you know, you've obviously got your own impression of your brother, you know, in not this week's episode, but the following, you know, we show Ted's relationship with the librarian's son. You know, he was the local librarian's son's math tutor. So everybody saw a different side of Ted. And, you know, most people were, you know, understandably shocked that that was him, that he was behind this. And I think no more shocked than the FBI was that the person they couldn't catch for 17 years had no electricity and no running water and, you know, managed to evade capture for 17 years.
Greg, would you put Kaczynski, Ted Kaczynski, in that bracket of people where they always say there's a fine line between being a genius and a complete lunatic? There's an eighth of an inch between those things. Would you throw him in that category?
100%. We drilled it down that there's a fine line between inventing the iPhone and becoming a Unabomber.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's right there. I mean, you know, and episode 6, which is coming on next week, you know, really delves into, you know, the weaponizing of Ted Kaczynski and the irony that the government created the very person that they were looking for, and really the, you know, the real life creation of a supervillain. You know, this is someone that was weaponized and became who they became through a series of betrayals. And when you're already operating, you know, at that place that a lot of, and you see it more in tech and you see it more accepted in tech, but you see it, you know, where genius has a difficult time connecting to people. And if you can, you know, if you catch that at the right fork, you can either, you know, events can happen that encourage you to go on and, you know, create good and change for humanity. And at the same time, you can see, you know, these geniuses are operating at a level that is something that, you know, that I don't, you know, I can't personally connect to, because they see the world completely differently and they see it much more unemotionally. And, you know, while people are out there creating tech and using their genius for that, Ted could see what tech was doing and it was making him crazy. And you combine that with, you know, repeated instances where he was socially alienated or betrayed, and then you start to see what formed and why.
Emmy Award-winning director on the line with us, Greg Yatanis, his latest project, Manhunt Unabomber, which is on Discovery. How many episodes total are in the series?
It's 8 episodes. It was over 7 nights because we made the first 2 into 1 combined episode. So, you know, and tackling all 8 of these, you know, is exhilarating, especially given the, you know, the deep dive of the research and the accuracy in which we're telling the story. You know, it's interesting to watch, you know, when you put, you know, 18 months of your life into something, you know, you try to imagine, you start to get a perspective of what it must have been like for these people for 17 years. What Janet Reno, you know, when you see Janet Reno's desk, you know, the Unabomber case was one of 10 other, you know, historic and significant events that were happening in the world at the time that was on her desk. Like, it's, you know, you find it to be a big deal, and then you're very humbled by what people really went through in the process.
Greg, do me a favor. Talk about the casting of Paul Bettany as Ted Kaczynski. I love Paul Bettany. I've never seen him be bad in anything, but I wouldn't even think of him for this role. Why is he so good at it?
You know, we made sure, we knew that we were going to do this standalone episode, which is coming next week, of Ted Kaczynski and going into the, really encapsulating his life into the episode of the major events that took place that shaped who he was. And you know, we waited, you know, we had Paul in mind, you know, Paul had become available. It was an intriguing idea. I've been a fan of Paul's work. He's one of those people, there's like a group of actors where you feel like, you know, at some point I'm going to work with that guy. Mm-hmm. And you don't know why, you just feel like the path will align because you're artistically drawn to the same things or similar approach. And, you know, when we got Paul on the phone, you know, we made sure to have had episode 6 written and so that he could see it, because it was critical for us in the casting and especially for Paul that you're not coming in to play a monster. You're coming in to play someone that's, you know, complex and things are contradictory and it doesn't necessarily make total sense. You can kind of point to some things, but you're not delivering a clear cut answer as to why somebody is how they are, and which, you know, we felt was, you know, a very honest way to approach the material. And he grabbed right onto that. And it was great to have that conversation at that level and to attract him into that space. So at that point, you know, we were talking to Sam, and each was kind of influenced by the other and wanting to do it. So it was great because there was a mutual respect for each other's craft that ultimately, you know, helped push that over, as well as Andrew's writing, which is, you know, phenomenal. And Andrew wrote next week's episode and tailored that to, you know, the specifics where you're seeing what happened, you know, the empathy you put on that and what your takeaway is from that doesn't excuse what happened, but you'll come away with more understanding of why it took place. And that was something that I think really drew Paul. And, you know, I've had great experience with English actors. I just, you know, I love the training and the craft and the commitment of the craft and the kind of general like approach. And, you know, Paul works from a place of real joy. So, you know, our day to day on set was really great. You know, I had often been looking for that experience since working with Hugh Laurie for so many years.
Yeah, on House.
Paul fit right into that. Yeah.
All right, we're talking about Manhunt Unabomber. It continues Tuesday, that's tonight, 10 p.m., discovery.com. You can find out all the information, and you can watch past episodes there, correct?
Correct.
All right.
And it's on iTunes as well.
All right, so Unabomber, I remember when this came out, I was confused as to why it wasn't spelled U-N-I. Why was it U-N-A? I can't remember that story. Can you clear that up?
Yeah, I was actually surprised to how many, you know, when I was following the live feed on Twitter, it was interesting to see how many people, like, always thought it was the Unibomber, like it was the singular bomber. But actually, the case had this acronym called Unibom. Was the case. And what, you know, originally, you know, John Goldwyn and I wanted to, you know, have the correct spelling of Unabomber, which is U-N-A-B-O-M, and then in caps, and then a lowercase E-R, because Unabom was the case, which stood for University, which is the U-N, A for airline, B-O-M for bomber. And it was combined because his targets were consistently universities and airlines, all which represented what he was angry and frustrated and wanted revenge on. He also went after tech as well, people involved in technology or furthering technology.
If you ever do a miniseries, Greg, based on the history of the unicycle, will you spell that correctly or will you spell that incorrectly?
Yeah. I'm getting calls about that now.
I am just fascinated by all these things, and I have to be honest with you, as we were following it, you're very aware of it, and you kind of forget, and this was pre-social media, so we didn't have a ton of stuff going on. Can't wait to see it. I'm going to binge watch it, and new episodes Tuesdays, 10 p.m., Discovery Channel. Greg Yatanis, thank you so much. This is really exciting.
It was great. Thank you for having me, guys.
Thanks, Greg. Good luck with everything. It's Greg Yatanis, whose name I've recognized for years. I always read the credits of TV shows. He was a director on House for so many episodes and Lost and just so many great shows over the years.
I can't wait to see this.
Yeah, it looks really good, doesn't it?
And we'll find out once and for all why the sketch looked like Weird Al.
Yeah, finally.
Will they interview Weird Al,
yeah,
I wonder?
He does all the music for this. It's really fun. We'll take a quick break and then more show. It's Bill and Wendy on WGN.
You excited about the Bears yet?
Yeah.
They won.
They won by a point.
And they went through, I believe, all three of their quarterbacks.
Everybody got to quarterback for a little while.
Glennon looked better than Martinez.
Sanchez came in. Oh. Bobby Douglas for a little while. That was a surprise.
And Mitch Trubisky.
Mitch Trubisky closed things off.
Bisky in the basket.
Put the bisky in the basket. No, they were. I watched the fourth quarter of the game the other night.
Did you hear
that's
that,
the
Kevin?
Longest, that's the longest I was able to watch a Bears game without throwing up in about 3 years.
They're turning it all around.
Yeah.
And the White Sox will be too someday.
I think you're right.
I'm going to the game tomorrow night.
Oh, that'll
I can't
be
wait.
Fun. That'll be fun.
It's been a long time since I've been to the ballpark.
There's already a team in baseball, the San Francisco Giants, that were eliminated over the weekend. We're only two-thirds of the way through August, and they're already eliminated. They can't be in the playoffs already.
So do they even play the rest of their games?
Nah, they're just going to stay home.
I would do
that. They're
not
coming out. It's crazy. Normally, you get this like with 2 or 3 weeks left in the season, but they've had an awful year. The Dodgers don't lose at all. They're in the same division, so the Giants are just done for the season with 6 weeks to go.
But they are still playing the rest of the games.
Yeah, they'll still show up.
Although, really, why bother?
I don't know.
Go get a funnel cake. Go watch the rest of the teams. Take some notes.
Right. Get a funnel cake. I don't know if we have time to do this here, but I just want to point this out. I don't know if everyone's aware of this. I wanted to bring this up with Bridget Carey because this amazes me that this continues to happen in the world of technology. A couple of years ago, there was this thing where a guy around Chicago, I don't think he was in the city, I think he was in the suburbs, was able to hack into celebrities' photo accounts.
Oh, yeah.
And then he put on websites naked pictures of all kinds of famous women. And they caught the guy. He's in jail now. Had to pay a hefty fine, and he's in jail. But now, this week, it's being done again. Not by this guy, by somebody else.
You're not that good at it.
I don't know how to do it. No.
Not saying you wouldn't do it. You just don't know how.
I don't know how to do it. But
is he from Chicago again?
It doesn't. I don't think they know who it is yet. I don't think they know who it is. But,
Kevin.
It's not Kevin. Kevin, is it you? It's not you. But Tiger Woods, who's in some of the pictures, because at the time he was dating Lindsey Vonn, and her pictures are featured on there, and there's a couple of Tiger Woods, and he's not happy about this.
Is he naked?
Yeah.
Well, I can see why.
Yep. Yep. Miley Cyrus is also involved, Wendy.
Although, will blind you.
My word. She has so many pictures of herself taken without clothes on anyway that I don't think this phases her at all. I don't think. Kristen Stewart is in this.
I bet she's bothered.
She's not happy about this. No one's happy about it.
Well, yeah. I mean, first of all, leave naked pictures of yourself on your phone or in your cloud.
That's the weirdest thing is, like, when this happened, when was the last one? Like 2 years ago or 3 years ago?
Yeah.
I would have thought that would have been a warning if you're a celebrity, or even if you're not a celebrity, maybe don't do those pictures because somebody could hack into them. But now there's a whole new round of these.
Not even hacking into them. I mean, come on. What if you had naked pictures of someone on your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're doing a naked selfie.
Right.
Which is the thought of that cracks me up because you don't take selfies.
That's the part that cracks you up. The rest of it you're fine with. It's just the mere fact that I'm the one who took the picture.
Well, but
maybe I'd go to a studio and have them done professionally.
You would never do that.
I might. Maybe, I might have them professionally done.
Does this look okay?
Boudoir Am I posing? Yeah.
Oh, my God. Remember that? What was that called? They still do them.
There was some company. I don't remember the name of the company.
Spicy Picks or
it was
Glamour Shots.
Glamour Shots.
They do still do it.
Right.
Get that for Terry.
Wow, she'd love
Bill
that.
Left boudoir photo.
I might do that. Wendy, they'd be fashionably done.
You would have a cape on.
Nothing gratuitous.
Just a cape.
Right. Right. What's wrong with that? Maybe for her birthday, I'll do that.
But think of this. If you have naked nudie pictures of yourself on your phone,
yeah,
there's a good chance you may leave your phone somewhere or
right.
lose it.
Right.
So even without hacking,
right.
somebody could see it and they'd be like, oh, whose phone is this? And it says home. And somehow they figure out it's your phone. And then
yeah.
there's all these naked pictures of yourself in various poses. Wouldn't that be embarrassing?
That would be very embarrassing. Yes. You know, I have to go, because I'm not good with tech stuff, I have to go to the AT&T store about twice a month just to have them show me how to do something. Like, I'll go, the phone keeps making a ringing noise, and I'll go, you want to press this answer button? And I'll go, thank you, and then I leave. But they're always in my phone looking at stuff, because I don't know. I was in last week because I didn't know how to delete. I've got a bunch of people in my contacts who have either moved or
passed away.
Some of them are dead. And I said, I want to delete these, and I have no idea how to do it. Every time I press one, it goes to the top of the list. So they had to show me how to do it. But if I had boudoir photos in there, they'd go, hold on a second, sir. We have to contact the FBI. This will just take a moment.
We have to take a break. Everybody can have a happy little thought of thinking of Bill's glamour shot.
Think about that.
I got your glamour shot. It's Bill and Wendy, 720 WGN.
You know who that is singing, Wendy? Bonnie Tyler. That's Bonnie Tyler.
Is this Louis Armstrong?
Yeah, it's Louis Armstrong. I have a moral dilemma that I must ask you about because I don't know what to do about this. As we've established on the show, we eat out a lot. My family tends to eat out a lot, or sometimes we'll order food and pick it up and bring it to the house and we'll eat it. But that's the way we usually are. We don't cook at home very often. We like supporting restaurants in the area. Well, we found out over the weekend that one of our favorite restaurants, one that is in our normal... We've got this rotation of restaurants, some that we go to about once a week or every 10 days, some that we go to once a month, some once every couple of months. But one of the ones we go to about once every other week was closed because of cockroach infestation. Now,
is there a sign? We're closed due to cockroach infestation?
No, it was in the paper.
Oy.
It was in the newspaper. I'm not going to say the name of the restaurant because I'm not trying to bring them any ill will.
And I'm telling you, I'll bet you every restaurant has a problem with cockroaches at some point.
See, that's part of what I want to tell you. I'm sure. I've never owned a restaurant. I've been to plenty of restaurants, but I've never owned a restaurant. I have to think that keeping out cockroaches, mice,
it happens.
Rats, squirrels, elk,
coyote,
zebra, I got to think that's almost impossible to keep those out of your restaurants all the time. However, this restaurant has had a similar incident in the past, which we all politely forgot about. We knew it happened, but we all like, well, let's pretend that never happened. And we kept going there. Sometimes we'd eat there at the restaurant, but oftentimes we'd go and pick up food. But once you know that about a restaurant, that they've had more than one offense, and I could read you this. I got the story here from the Evanston newspaper. They said that they have been, in the past, health inspectors, and I didn't know how this worked exactly until I read this story. So in Evanston, anyway, I don't know what it's like in Chicago. Three times a year, they're allowed to make surprise visits. So they can schedule visits, but don't you think that's better?
Keeps them on their toes.
I think it's better because they don't have time to make everything neat and clean and shiny.
Right.
It's what's really going on back there. So it said that in the past, they've had these surprise inspections, and they have found a couple of cockroaches, and they said, look, you got to get this fixed. There's a cockroach. You can't have that. Fix it. But this time they said there were so many that they had to take immediate action and close the restaurant.
Oh.
So their plan,
jeebies.
Yes, exactly. So their plan is they want to work with an exterminator, of course, and get rid of them. But if you're me and you go there all the time, would you continue to visit this restaurant, or would you say to yourself, I got to find myself another restaurant?
Personally, I would find myself another restaurant. There was a restaurant that I went to with some friends many, many years ago. It is no longer there. And it was a Mexican restaurant. We were eating food, having some margaritas, and there was like stucco walls, and it was beautiful.
Yeah.
And there was a cockroach on the wall, and my girlfriend Sue's husband Jeff just took his flip-flop off and splatted it.
Yeah.
And then went back to eating chips and salsa.
Oh,
I'm like,
business as usual?
I never went back there. And that's one, and I'm sorry, sometimes they come in.
I'm sure if there's one, that was probably the only one in the restaurant, right?
I don't
know. There's no reason to believe there'd be more than one.
But you do, I mean, there are bugs. There was one time we ordered a pizza and we brought it home. And it was really a really super hot summer day, and there was a mosquito that had drowned in the grease. Now, granted, I never went back there after that either. And tell me that couldn't happen. Mosquitoes, you know, the doors in and out.
Easily. Easily.
I didn't go back there ever again. And having an infestation, how could you go back there ever?
That's what kills me is this place was so good. I mean, everything we
extra
ever ordered
crunchy?
There. Yeah, sometimes we'd get the sweet and sour cockroach, and it was always fresh, and I will miss that more than anything. If it was a restaurant that was like on the periphery where you go, it was okay. You know, we eat there once in a while. It's not so. But this was a place we went to all the time, honestly, at least once a month, usually two or sometimes three times a month. We'd pick something up from there. I don't know how I can do that now. And that hurts.
I would never go back.
That's painful.
It shouldn't hurt.
When I heard the story, like a friend told me about this, and then I found it online, and I read the story, and I'm like, oh, please. Like, the more I read about it, the more it just made me sick to my stomach, because we've had the food from there so many times. It's always so good.
I'm sure you've eaten some cockroaches.
No, I won't. Well, I always say two things when I order. I go, no MSG, and if you could put the cockroaches in a separate container, because not everyone in our family likes them.
Tony, would you eat at this place again?
William Wendelin, I would never eat at this
never.
Place again.
Never. You're done.
So I was a dispatcher, a 911 dispatcher, and there was a restaurant in town that I loved that I found out the cops would never eat at, and I had to ask why. Turns out they'd responded to a fight in the kitchen where the cooks had gone after each other with a couple of cleavers, and they never found one of the thumbs.
Oh, get out!
I mean, it could be a wives' tale, but that's what they told me, so I didn't eat that place.
I hear they have great finger sandwiches, though.
They really do.
Tony, thank you so much for calling. Richard says the opposite, Bill. He would still go to this restaurant.
Yeah, I hope
why?
So.
Hello, Wendy. Hello, Bill.
Hi.
I am calling for two reasons, and one is professional.
Yes.
I am an insurance adjuster.
Yeah.
And about 18 years ago, maybe late 90s, there was a restaurant in Iwans, a catering place, in Orland, I mean.
Yeah.
And it had a situation where some people got sick from eating food. Food had been tainted, so on and so forth. As one of the adjusters who handled the claim, we represented the business. And we paid the claims as they came in because, of course, people were suing and so forth. And unfortunately, the company went out of business because no one went to eat anymore. Because
sure.
The stigma was there. Oh, my goodness, it's dirty, it's this, it's that. The irony is, it was after what happened, it was the cleanest place in town. You know why? Because they couldn't open up again unless the city gave them the okay. And we had all this, you know, paperwork saying they did the stuff they were supposed to do. They disinfected this. They threw out that. They got rid of this. They upgraded that. But it didn't matter. The damage was done.
The reputation.
The reputation was gone. They closed down. I'm sure they have renamed themselves and they opened up somewhere else. But if you're worried about cleanliness, get over it. Get over yourself.
Really?
It's going to be the cleanest place in town for the next several months when they open back up.
Now,
go there.
Pay
your money. Keep them open. Keep them in business.
I hope you're right, but let me throw something else into the equation. On this particular block in Evanston, they're doing a lot of construction, and a lot of times what happens when they do construction is stuff that's down underground, like roaches or mice or
they're
stuff.
Roaches and vermin, yeah. They
come out.
They come up and they come out, yeah.
They're looking for
food.
The
north side is having a lot of problems with that, like in the Lakeview neighborhood.
Yeah.
When they're rebuilding something, the rats have nowhere to go, and neither do the roaches, so they just show up. And so,
all right, well, this is good to know.
I like knowing what you say is true, that they will go out of their way now to be as clean as clean.
Although
can
Richard
be.
Said for the next several months.
Oh,
after that, you're
right.
on your own.
I'll eat there through November.
Thank you, Richard. We appreciate it. Quick break. More calls, 312-981-7200. Boy, that's a tough one.
That's a tough one, isn't it?
All right, it's WGN. Bill's got bugs in his belfry.
In one of my favorite restaurants. I won't say the name. I'm not trying to hurt these people, but I've eaten there over 100 times, and they just closed temporarily because of a roach infestation. They plan on reopening, so my question was, do you give them a second chance? I'm torn. I want to, but...
Haven't you ever had a roach in your house or a mouse in your house or a spider in your house? I mean, sometimes they come in uninvited.
Yeah, I know. I know.
I don't know how it works.
Roaches, no. Spiders, yes. And a mouse, yeah.
I had an earwig.
You did?
Yeah. All right, this person is anonymous. You don't want to reveal your name.
Hello, anonymous.
Two callers ago, I got to give that guy a double thumbs up. Well, maybe one. But anyway, I used to own a place, and what happens is the rodents, and especially in the wintertime when the weather starts changing, they want to get in where it's warm.
Yeah.
Okay. I've actually had delivery trucks come in, open up a box of whatever was in there, and obviously, like, the cups were sealed. And there were dead cockroaches in there, not within. Okay. So they make their way in from the warehouses. Okay?
Yeah.
So I actually had a problem, and the next thing you know, they festered. They were fruitful, and they multiplied. So I called one of the rodent companies, Orkin.
Yeah.
they come in. I called the guy. He says, can you come here like at 7 in the morning? Because if you come here during business hours, people are going to go nuts.
Sure. Yeah, it's going to look bad.
He goes, well, let me explain this to you. He says, every establishment that serves food has got something. I don't care what it is. They've got something. And the theory that he says, which makes sense to a business owner, is that when you see, like, whatever pest control, the, you know, bomb squad exterminators, they're there controlling the problem. You're doing something about it. Mm-hmm. It's when you don't see that, like, you know, if you don't see them in there, the restaurant's like, hey, yeah, they're not doing nothing about it.
Yeah.
I thought that was a good theory.
That is a good theory.
From a customer standpoint, you know, maybe I can alert your people that if, like I said, every restaurant's got them. But if they're doing something about it, they're controlling it and taking care of the problem. It's when you don't see that.
That's the
that
difference.
Becomes the problem.
Interesting.
But that place, I would give them a second chance.
Yeah.
If they open again.
They will open again. They did an incredible business. They were very busy all the time.
Is that in Cook County where the taxes are so high? Maybe that one's going to get a thumbs down.
Thank you, Anonymous.
Thanks, Anonymous.
All right. Bye.
I had my bug guy, Alvin, whom I loved, and he passed away, so we have a new bug guy. But now that I'm thinking about it, Bill, he told me who his clients were, and they were a lot of restaurants.
Were they?
As well as, you know, residential.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're doing something
Yeah, I'm sure. And I do take some solace in knowing that whatever restaurant is just not idly standing by. They're doing something about it. I like that. But I would be freaked out if I was eating a restaurant and I saw a bunch of pest control people walking through. That would make me a little nervous, too.
Yeah, that wouldn't be good.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, you don't want chemicals in your food.
No.
No MSG and no dethylmoxazidone or whatever it is. I don't know if that's even
Say
a
that
thing.
Again.
No, I couldn't if I tried. Hi, Michelle.
Hi there. This one time we had just gotten seated at the restaurant, and you know those little, I call them paper tents, they have like a little advertisement for a drink something on it.
Yeah.
I look in there and there's a cockroach sitting in there.
Did you leave?
My friends were like, oh, we'll just go to another table. I'm like, oh my God. So they all ate and I just sat there like, you sure you're not gonna eat? I'm like, no, I'm good. I never went back, and they wanted changing owners. So then, like, 20 years later, I went back, ate there once, but never could forget the experience.
Yeah, it's hard to forget that.
It is hard to forget that. Michelle, thank you so much. And really quickly, Joe, we don't have a lot of time, but go ahead. You're the last call on this.
So I sold in the city of Chicago in the suburbs for about 4 years, pest control. So there's really two steps.
Mm-hmm.
They a lot of times come in not only on deliveries, but come in through the system, sewer systems, people bring them in. It's a really strange industry. But they once you get rid of the problem, the prevention, they put a lot of residual and chemicals down so that when they do come in, because they will, that you can get them before they start breeding.
Oh, that's
so
better.
So if you saw one on the wall, I had an instance in the suburb. They had one in the live kitchen in the morning or in the during lunch. On the wall. The reason it was on the wall is because there was only about 400 in the ceiling. So
one is too many. When you said one, I got sick, and then 400.
They have a thing called and real quick called raining cockroaches. And when they do a clean out of a restaurant, they a lot of times are in the ceiling, so they'll take the center panel out. And put it to the side of the drop ceiling, and then put this pyrethrin kind of air mist in there, and it's like a nerve gas, and they go running, and they'll come running to the closest spot, which is the middle, and then they come running down and die, and they call that raining cockroaches.
Oh, no.
I hope everyone packed a lunch today and made it at their own home.
Do I have to wear special glasses if I want to watch that?
No, a helmet. Joe, thank you very much for calling. We appreciate you ruining everyone's lunch.
All right.
Suddenly, I'm not hungry anymore.
No, I'm not either. This was a good diet plan. All right. Wendy and I are headed to the stream. Who knows what we'll talk about there? You can join us easily by going to WGNradio.com or stick around because Steve Bertrand has the Wintrust Business Lunch. This is WGN.